A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. On leaving the synagogue, Jesus entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever. They immediately told him about her, and he approached, and he grasped her hand and helped her up. Then the fever left her, and she waited on them. And when it was evening, after sunset, they brought to him all who were ill and possessed by demons. The whole town was gathered at the door. He cured many who were sick with various diseases, and he drove out many demons, not permitting them to speak because they knew him. Rising very early before dawn, he left and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. Simon and those who were with him pursued him, and on finding him, said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he told them, "Let us go on to the nearby villages, that I may preach there also. For this purpose have I come." So he went into their synagogues, preaching and driving out demons throughout the whole of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. Let me reflect with you on the words of this gospel to wonder how it might apply to us in our lives today. It comes in the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, and Mark wants to portray Jesus, the healing presence of Jesus. And the healing of Jesus has two components. One is to make the person whole, and the second is to liberate the person from some possession, something that diminishes the person. So the whole ministry of Jesus in terms of healing is to create a whole person, to restore original goodness, the meaning of salvation, that Jesus came among us so that we would be reborn into a new life and a new way of life. So let me reflect on this for a few moments. Most of us, perhaps each and every one of us, we carry unhealed wounds. They're embedded deep inside of us. Frequently, we bury them so deep we deny them. They do not allow to be part of our conversation. We don't bring them up to our awareness. They're a heavy burden. It's the burden and the blessing of being human. The burden, it weighs us down. It somehow paralyzes us in some way. It diminishes us. We're not whole. On the other hand, it could be a blessing. Could it be that the unhealed wound is a blessing, a sentinel, summoning us, demanding that we bring it up to the surface and we look at it, and out of this awareness, a new awareness, a new conversation, we may grow and move toward wholeness and liberation in the power of Jesus Christ. So let me look at that. Years ago, I read a book called Why Am I Afraid to Tell You Who I Am? By John O'Brien from the University of Chicago. I suspect it's out of print now. So why am I afraid to tell you who I am? I'm afraid to tell you who I am because I fear rejection. I fear that if you really knew who I was, I would be rejected. See, we live in a culture of winners. We live in a culture that we're the biggest, the strongest, the most powerful. We're the greatest. That's our culture. That's the psychic which drives our culture in this country. We're the richest, the most powerful. Therefore, when we lost a war in Vietnam, we had a psychological crisis, a national crisis. 9/11, we became vulnerable, and all of a sudden we were shocked into awareness that we were not all powerful. Our culture, I believe, does not have a theology for weakness or failure. Treated very nicely in John Navona's book, Triumph Through Failure. We don't have a hospitality for not winning. We have to win. It's an imperative. We're a country of supreme winners. We celebrate winners. We forget losers. We celebrate power and achievement and glory. Weakness and failure are not part of our national psychic. We'll find this. In politics, the temptation is if you don't win, you lie, or you cheat, or you do something, but you must win. We'll find it in the church. When we were faced in the church with our sins and our brokenness, the temptation was to deny, to somehow mitigate this, to not come to terms with it and own our weakness, own our brokenness, face the wound, the hidden wound inside of us. We'll find it in sports. Winning, you must win. The temptation to cheat, because you must win. In this way, we tend to cover up our weaknesses and our failures. But could it be that our weakness and our failure, instead of being a burden, they may be a blessing, an invitation to learn more about ourselves? I have never learned anything about myself in times of success. Success just feeds my ego. I learned about myself in my brokenness and in my failure when I had to ask for forgiveness and I had to depend on others. Then I learned who I was. It's not part of our culture. We hide our inner weakness. We disguise it. Frequently enough, we don't even find our search for a venue to bring it to the surface and to discuss it. Let me tell you a story that happened here at Holy Family quite a few years ago, maybe about 20, 25 years ago. And was this wonderful man who came to the 9:30 Mass every Sunday. I knew him very well. We were good friends. And on one occasion at the 9:30 Mass, we had the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. And so we would invite those in our congregation who were struggling with some illness or burdened with a sickness to come forward for the anointing of the sick. This nice man, I'll call him Bill. Bill came forward, big, strong, husky fellow. He was a truck driver. He lived not far from the church. And I saw him coming up in the line, and I gave him the anointing of the sick. And across my mind afterwards, I met him afterwards and talked with him, but he didn't talk to me about why he was anointed. And I wondered to myself, he looks very healthy. He's a very big, strong fellow. That was the 9:30 Mass. About 11:30 or noon that day, His wife called me, frantic, saying, Bill is in the attic, and he has a gun, and he's going to kill himself, and he wants to talk to you. So I went immediately to their home, and Bill was in the attic. There was a ladder going up to the attic, and I could hear him. He was saying the rosary. So I went halfway up the ladder, and I said, Bill, this is Monsignor. I want to come up to pray the rosary with you. Is that okay? And he said, yes. So I went up, and he was sitting on a crate, and I sat across from him, and we prayed the rosary together. The gun was right next to him on the crate. And when he finished the rosary, he said, Monsignor, I want to go to confession. Okay. So I heard his confession, and he poured out all the weaknesses, the embarrassing things of his life, the failures, how he was unworthy of such a wonderful wife, how he was a failure as a father. He was hopeless. There was no hope in his life. He was in total darkness, and he cried. And I cried with him, and we prayed together, and I blessed him and gave him the sacrament of reconciliation. And then when we finished, I said, now, Bill, do you feel better now? And he said, I do. And I said, well, why don't you give me the gun? And very gently, picked up the gun, handed to me. I took it over to the opening. I handed it down to a police officer who was there by then. I said, now, Bill, we're going to go down together, and the paramedics are going to go to a hospital with you where you need some care. All those professional people, they're agents of Jesus Christ. Let Jesus Christ run your life. You are blessed. You are a sincere and wonderful good man. People love you. I want to tell you how much I admire you. And he got the courage. And I said, you go down first. I didn't want to go down and then have him not come. So you go down first. So he went down the ladder, and I came down after him. And I said, now, Bill, you go with the paramedics. And they took him to the Huntington Hospital, to the Delamartin section for psychiatric care. I said, no, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to be your friend. I'm your brother. He was grateful. We stayed in touch, and he went through extensive care, and by all appearances, he was back to living a fairly normal life. He was back to working. Then the family moved away. I lost touch with them. But I remembered that the only way in which he could find hope and healing was to come to terms with what was buried inside of him. That was eating him away. The sense of being shamed and unworthy. He couldn't face himself. And he needed the healing touch of Jesus Christ. He needed to pray in a sacrament of reconciliation to find the goodness which is within him, that goodness which will overcome any failures or any weaknesses. It will anoint him in his humanity. A great teaching. We bury things inside of us. The unhealed wound festers. It invades. It makes us dark and depressing. Thomas Hardy, the celebrated English composer and poet, in one of his powerful and stunning poems called In Tenebris, which means in darkness, at a time when he was going through this extraordinary, difficult time in his life, professionally, he was struggling, and his marriage, he was a very hard time in his marriage. He wrote this poem in Tenebris, and in it he says, "If may a better be, it exacts a full look at the worst. If you want to grow, you must face your real self." I was reminded in my thinking about what to say today of Buckminster Fuller. Now, many of you may be familiar with that name. Buckminster Fuller died in Los Angeles here at Good Samaritan Hospital in 1983. I was living downtown at that time. His wife of 66 years was at Good Samaritan. She was comatose with advanced cancer. And Buckminster went and he took her hand. She was comatose. And he exclaimed, "She squeezed my hand." And that was the last thing he said. Then he walked out and he got a massive heart attack and he died. And she died the same day. Marvelous love story, 66 years married. But he liked to tell this story about himself. So when he was a young man, he was 32 years old, lived in Chicago. And he was going through a great crisis in his life. He had a small business that failed, so he was unemployed. His little girl, Alexandria, had died a couple of years earlier. She was almost 4 years old. And he took some responsibility for the circumstances of Alexandra's death. And his wife and himself had a new baby named Aurora. But he had no money. He had life insurance. So he decided, he went down to the edge of Lake Michigan. He decided he would commit suicide so that his wife and his baby would get the insurance money. He told the story about himself many times. And then he stopped. And he had what he called an epiphany. And in the epiphany, he thought to himself, "What would happen if I died and I came back to life and I got a new life? What would I do?" He decided that he was meant to enrich humankind. His destiny was to do something extraordinary for people at large. To do more with less. And so, he turned around, went back, began again, and he became probably the most celebrated architect and engineer in the history of the United States. International recognition. He got an epiphany that said, "Face your weakness. There's light, there's glory, there's life out there for you." Buckminster Fuller, cross my mind. You see, our addictions and our compulsions are many. Our compulsions could be as ordinary as being controlling, demanding. Greed. When is enough enough? When do I pause and say, "I am so blessed, I don't have to cling"? The compulsion toward greed. Addictions are plentiful. Whether it's alcohol or drugs or pornography, no matter the compulsion or the addiction, you have to surrender to a higher power. You have to look deep inside yourself and you have to wonder who you really are. Let's face who you are. That's the beginning of claiming a new life, to face your real self. So what's the teaching here? The teaching here is threefold. The first is surrender to the power of Jesus Christ. Let Jesus Christ lead you in your life. If you need professional care, the professional people are the agents of new life in Jesus Christ. That's the first teaching. Let the power of Jesus Christ liberate you, make you whole. That's the healing Christ. The second teaching is this. It's about forgiveness. It's about the wound we carry inside of us. Our struggle to forgive. If somebody asks you for forgiveness, for God's sake, forgive the person. Turn a burden into a blessing. Claim the extraordinary grace of making a difference in somebody else's life. Bless the other person with forgiveness and free yourself from the burden the unforgiving soul, the heart which is hard. And the third is, if you have somebody in your life who knows you, your inner person, and loves you, go down on your knees tonight and thank God for that person. Amen.